Who works on the VS Core team? Why don't you tell us a little about yourself?
So I work on VS Core. I've been working for Visual Studio for about 5 years. And right now I'm working on the SDK to allow people to integrate their product inside Visual Studio. And yeah, that's pretty much what I do.
Cool. All right, and so today we're here to talk about the Managed Package Framework and the new idea in Visual Studio 2005, what's called Project Flavoring. And so why don't you kind of, that's a lot of buzzwords there, so let's walk ourselves up the stack. So why don't we start with kind of a Visual Studio package? What's, I guess, kind of the quick description of a package?
So a package is kind of a unit of code that gets included in Visual Studio. By example, most of the features in Visual Studio are part of the package, and that's also the same type of unit that you can use as a third party to add your own things inside Visual Studio.
Okay.
That's a little bit like an add-in, one would say, but it's different than the Visual Studio add-in.
Okay, and so a package is what kind of us as VS developers internally kind of write, like, you know, I work on a JV team, and so I write the compiler package.
Yes, using the same set of interface, and we need to install the SDK in order to be able to write a package.
Okay. All right, and so so that's a package. How do you get your package, I guess, how do you get Visual Studio to load it?
So you register it. It's pretty much like Con, except that we have this few trick we do to allow side by side. So we register it inside the Visual Studio Hive. So it's not the normal place.
Okay, so I have my add-in registered, and then, you know, if I've got the same add-in registered for Visual Studio 8 and Visual Studio 7, then
great.
I'm not going to smash
they
it.
They won't conflict.
Okay, that's cool. And so in Visual Studio 7.0 and 7.1, you had to write, if you were packages, you were pretty much writing them in unmanaged code usually, or?
So 7.0, you pretty much had to use C++. 7.1, a little bit after 7.1 release, we, like 2003 release, we enabled people to write managed code, but we didn't have that much extra help to help you. It was just writing C++ and C#. And what we'd be, we went further along and we've tried to add a bunch of class that implements lots of the stuff for you. The experience is getting more along the what it's like to program in VB or C#.
Okay, cool. So now I can sit down, and if I want to write an ad in Visual Studio, you guys have got a bunch of classes for me that I can extend and...
Correct. Like, most of them are used by deriving from them and then extending them.
Okay. So what's the kind of the first class I'm going to override when it's time to start working on my managed package?
So typically the easiest way to start, we have a wizard that we created.
Okay.
You can run the wizard and it will let you select a few features. By example, you could say, oh, I want to have a menu item, I want to have a tool window, an editor. And you also select which language you want to have the code in. Right now we support C++ and C#, but it's also possible to program VB if that's what you want to do.
Okay.
And that will generate the base part of your package. There's a class called package that it will derive from, and that's probably where you start looking at changing.
Okay. Then I guess why don't you tell us a little bit about a kind of the what a package goes through when it gets loaded. Like, you know, it's time, Visual Studio decides that for whatever reason it's going to...
Okay.
Can I load my package?
So, the first thing it does, well, the first place where it should start is most packages are only loaded when they're needed.
Okay.
So, that means that you won't get to see your package loaded until you do something that uses it, like use a command or display it to a window or something like that.
Okay.
The next thing it does is it creates the object, the package object. And then it calls setSide in it. If you use the managed package framework, that would be initialized instead.
Okay.
Which is where you can register with Visual Studio what are the services you provide.
Okay.
And from there, depending what your project, your package does, it will vary.
Okay. And so services are kind of the way that other people interact with my package, I guess,
correct,
in a way. Okay. So for like, you know, for example, the VB compiler has like a compiler service or something like that,
yep,
that you could hook into
and
ask it to compile things.
And so
okay. So now that we've got, you know, we got a package, we're using the new managed package framework. Why don't you explain this idea of project flavoring and kind of how it's different than what we've seen before with things like, you know, Visual COBOL and kind of like, you know, total replacement add-ins.
So in previous version of Visual Studio and still today, the project system like VB, C#, provides some way to tweak a little bit their behavior, but there's some limitation, and that leaves people who want to do more having to rewrite their own project. With Visual Studio 2005, one of the new features is project subtype as the official name, although internally we tend to call it project flavor.
I'll use the real name from now on, I apologize.
Well, both are used a lot.
Okay.
So,
yeah. If you're searching for an MSDN, everybody, then make sure you use project subtypes and not flavors. But
so what this does is it allows someone to aggregate the project, which means pretty much to have a wrapper around it. So you get the first chance at anything that the project does. For example, all the interface, you can decide to override them, or you could say, well, I want to override this specific method and this interface, or just some of the time. So it gives you lots of control over that.
Okay.
And that also works well with the fact that now things use MS Build, so people want to extend the build part of the process can use MS Build and then have the project flavor around it to configure things more specifically.
Okay, so say I was adding some, you know, a new feature to a project system, I could have my MS Build end where I kind of customize MS Build to do the build section of it, and then I could come in and flavor the project and get a design time experience, and now
exactly,
I've got the kind of the full. But at the same time, I don't have to go the extra mile to kind of make my own, you know, kind of replicate the project system or do all this work.
Exactly.
I can just take all the work we've done and kind of, you know, just tweak it a little bit.
Yeah, like when I wrote the sample for project flavor, I started and all I had was pretty much a project that already exists like C#, and then I slowly tweak things and add this, remove that, and so on.
That's cool. That's cool. And we actually, this technology is used by some teams inside Microsoft, isn't this?
Yes.
How, yeah.
Like lots of, well, there's some part of Team System that use that. The SQL deployment project use that. There may be a few others, but that's the two main ones.
Does Office use flavoring, or are they kind of their own?
I'm not sure, actually. I would have to verify.
Well, I'll talk to the Office guys then. All right, so well, we've been talking here for a long time. Mind if we look at some code? Yeah,
sure.
Of course. Cool. I know the people here on Channel 9 like always love to see source code, so let's take a look.
So let's start with the project a little bit.
Here's a Visual Studio, nice to see us.
So, like for project flavor, if we look at the project implementation, there's a base class called flavored project.
Okay.
Which does lots of the work for you, it does the aggregation for you, and it implements some of the interface for you to make it easier to just add really what you're interested in.
Okay.
So, let's see. One of the things, as I was saying, let's say you use project flavor to add an extra part in the build process, for example. Well, you may want to make that configurable. And a good way to do that is to add property page,
okay,
like C# and VB already have.
Okay, and configurable is the kind of the debug versus release versus...
Well, I mean, if you want also, like, maybe you want to be able to change a path that you use.
Okay. Kind of in a broader means of the word configurable,
correct,
not necessarily the VS specific.
And so, if you wanted to do that, well, with project flavor, it's fairly easy. If we come back to the code, like what we do is there's two properties: one for general property page and one for configuration specific one. And they both return a string with a list of GUID, and all you have to do is add your own GUID to that list.
Okay.
And then your page will show up. Of course, you need to implement your page.
Okay, so that's how the project designer or the property frame figures out what pages to show. It asks Visual Studio, give me a list of GUIDs, and then it...
Correct.
And then it goes out and creates them.
Yes,
and all
and you could also say, oh, I don't like this page. I'm going to remove it. So.
Oh, okay. So that way...
It's very configurable.
As a flavor, you know, if I need a property page to support something or, like, I don't want to support, say, like, click once or security or something like that, I can just take that out of my flavor.
You could also try to do things like get involved when they start debugging to be doing things at that point.
Okay.
All kinds of stuff.
Okay, cool. So, in here, in your when you're getting this property page list here.
Yeah. So, like, if we look here, so just get the list from the base project, the project we're flavoring, and then it adds, like, or actually in this case, it removes that specific GUID, and then it regenerates the list based on having removed that GUID. And in this case, we do the other way around. We simply add our own GUID for our property page.
Okay. And so in this one, I see it says deploy property page. So we're taking away the GUID for the kind of the base deploy property page, and we're adding our own.
Correct. That's one way to replace it, or to modify an existing page, is to basically replace it with your own.
Okay. Cool.
And if we want to see, like, what does the property page itself look like, it's basically a class that's a user control that implements iProperty page. And it has to have a GUID since, again, it's going to be a COM object.
Okay.
And the implementation of it, the best way to figure out how to do that is to look at the sample.
Okay. And we'll put a link to the sample up on the post,
Let's see, is there much more? So this sample does a little bit of extra stuff with configuration, and what it does is it has a deployable project config, which means that after the build, but before it's run, it's going to try to deploy the application. In this case, the deploy doesn't do that much, it just generates extra files that are based on the content of the DLL.
Okay. So as a kind of a flavor author, I go and I find all these interfaces and, you know, and sure there's documentation, all that stuff on, like, what they do.
Pretty much everything that can be done, or all the interfaces that apply to project can be used as part of project flavor. The nice thing is you can go one interface at a time and start changing that one.
Okay, and when I decide to kind of re-implement an interface, do I need to re-implement, like, kind of do everything myself, or can I just, like, pick and choose the individual functions that I want to mess with?
So typically what you'll end up doing is you'll start by putting the interface and forwarding all the calls to the base class, and then after that you'll start changing specific meta. That's the easiest way to do it.
Okay, so when I start off, I'll have to, like, I guess, kind of encode, implement all of them, but I won't have any code in there. I'll just have some forward out to the base class.
And, like, for some of the most common interface, like the SCR key and a few others, we already put the forwarding code for you, so you only have to override that one function.
Okay. All right. So, I guess, still got some time left. Why don't we actually dig real deep in kind of what, like, you know, replacing property pages and kind of getting that into nitty-gritty. Okay.
So, let's see.
Okay. Well, actually, here's an idea. Let's walk through kind of like the lifetime of the package. Like the package, you know, I've loaded up one of these flavored projects, and now I'm opening my property pages, and it's time to jump to action.
Let's look at that. So, like in this solution, I have two projects. One is a normal C# project. The other one is a flavored C# project.
Okay.
And if I look, that's the list of property page I get for C#. And that's the list of property page I get for the flavored one. So you can see I remove a number of them, and then I've added the deployment one here. Let me go back to the first one just to show.
Okay, so this one had signing, security, and publish.
and then build events as well.
And build events, okay. And then get rid of all my property pages.
Well, I just removed some to show like how to do it.
Okay. Nothing personal. It's okay. All right, I understand.
Let's go back to looking at this code. So let's look at some other things you could potentially do if you wanted to. So typically for the config page, because you have the configuration specific page, like if you have a debug or release. So for if you have some of those pages, you usually want to create your own configuration object.
Okay.
And that would mean overriding this property or this function.
Create project flavor config. Okay.
And then in here, we basically create a new instance of it, and then we initialize it.
Okay, a specialized config class you wrote in this project?
Is it what?
A specialized config class that you
correct.
Wrote for this project?
That's part of it, and that's what I'm looking at right now.
Check.
And
you're way ahead of me.
There are a few things you can do, like if you want to persist things in the project, you can implement ipersys XML fragment, which is a good way to persist flavor-specific things in the project. So you can add things easily to the MS Build project.
Okay, and so I guess I would use my own private config object if I wanted to kind of customize the way that my properties got saved, I guess, would be kind of...
Correct. Now, you could do that without using config if the things you add is not configuration specific, but lots of things make sense to be configuration specific.
Okay.
And then the configuration is associated with the deployment page in my case, or in other words, whatever property page you have. And the part that may be a little bit tricky to do if you don't know is the way the property page gets hold of the configuration object is through this setObject method.
SetObjects, yes.
It has to pretty much look in the list of pointer it gets to find the right one. And one of the thing that's kind of good to know as well is that you want to save your property in the config object itself rather than in the page.
Okay.
And that's why the first thing you do is you get the object, you load the property from there, so you can initialize your page based on that, and then when you save the page, you save it back in the config object.
Okay. And just let everybody who's watching this video know, this is what I do every day, is deal with property pages and configs and all that, and all the set object calls and stuff. And so we're working on a base class to hopefully make that easier too, just like you guys have made replacing properties.
Right now, this could be probably simplified a little bit than the base class you're talking about.
Yeah. When after you've made four or five of these things, you start to realize that you're doing a lot of the same things over and over again. And we've got our own internal base class, but we're working on one that'll be nice for public consumption too. You know, people will be replacing property pages and going nuts out there. We're making it all pretty easy for them. Cool. All right, well, is there anything else in the sample that you think is particularly awesome and cool and stuff?
Well, since we talked about registration for package earlier, maybe I can show quickly in managed code the way we do registration is we have attributes that we add to the package class.
Oh, okay.
And by example, in this case, we have like the property page is simply a provide object class that registers that we have this property page. And the project itself, there's another attribute that tells all the information the Visual Studio has to know to be able to create that type of project. And there's a utility we call the reg package, which once run against your assembly, look at all those attributes and based on that, add the right things to the registry.
Okay, well that's handy. I don't have to go out and write reg and VRG files.
And
that's so great.
The utility tool can also help you with that because it can output reg files.
Oh, okay. And so I can output a reg file and then put in an MSI or
exactly.
an installer. Okay, cool. Oh, that's great. I was really going to have to write reg files and VRGs from hand.
And
this is so nice.
As I was mentioning, the initialize is probably where you want to mention like that Visual Studio know what service you provide. Like in this case, we have a project factory, so that's where you would initialize that.
Okay, that's actually pretty simple. Is there a lot of magic going on in that base.initialize call right there?
Yes, there's a number of things, and all of that you get for free from the package class. It's actually a pretty big class. That's lots of services for you, but from the user point of view or of that class, it makes things much easier.
All right, great. And so subclass, or I guess run the wizard is probably the easiest way to get things done.
Like, if you wanted to write your own project flavor, you'd probably want to run the wizard so it regulated all the class for you. And then after that, look at the project sample, to see how things are done, and then base yourself on that.
Now, that's a pretty good gotcha. Make sure you change all those GUIDs, people, because otherwise you and everybody else who downloaded the sample.
If you use the same GUIDs, you're going to run into conflict. That would be bad. Maybe you can take a quick look at the project factory. So again, there's a base class that does lots of the things for you. Pretty much the key thing to do is here.
Pre-create for outer.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's basically, because it uses aggregation, the first thing it's going to do is going to ask you to create the instance of the class. And now, in most cases, that's another thing I forgot to mention. There's another project which, for most people, this will be known, but one of the cool things of flavoring is you can have multiple levels of flavoring.
Oh, okay.
So you could have, like, the C# or VB project can have a flavor, and then another flavor, and then another flavor.
Okay.
And that all end up modifying each other. So that's why we have another project here, because you could have someone outside of you flavor.
Okay, so I'm going to write a flavor that, you know, replaces some property pages because I'm, you know, testing out my menu-based class, but I found this really cool flavor that lets me integrate, you know, some cool new tool window, and so I get that flavor. And
one of the cool things is that you can write a flavor and it can work for both VB and C#.
Oh, that's good, because underneath it's not exactly the same project system, but pretty similar.
Yeah, like, there may be a few small things you need to do, like, you'll need different templates to create them, but most of the code will be almost the same.
Cool.
Speaking of templates, we may want to take a quick look at what the project template looks like. So what what tells Visual Studio that your project is actually a flavor is this project type GUIDs in the project template or in the project font.
Okay.
And like in this case, I happen to know that this is the C# project GUID. I played enough with it to learn.
You recognize GUIDs on site, nice.
And this one is actually the my flavored project GUID. So basically, Visual Studio read that and know that, okay, this is the innermost project, and that's the flavor around it. And if you add more flavor, then you'd add more at the beginning here.
Okay.
And pretty much everything in here is standard stuff.
Looks like a pretty standard project file.
It was written like a while ago, so there's things that have been cleaned up since, but it's pretty standard other than that one line.
Okay. And these are the same, the templates, and I guess not project flavors a little less, but like the project system, all that stuff, it's exactly how everybody in here deal, like how internally we generate the, I mean, it's the same template technology.
And you could use VS template. I haven't used the VS template in this case, but it would be a good idea to use them.
Okay. I know, because I've fixed many a template bug, so this is a subject very near and dear to my heart. Well, cool. All right. Well, this looks like a pretty great sample. Is it up on the web for beta 2, or is it going to come with
RTM?
So
the SDK is up on the web. I assume we'll be putting out a link to that.
Yeah, make sure we get a link on the post.
like at the end of this week, we should be releasing an alpha of the next version, like next release of our SDK. And the sample is part of the SDK as well as all the things you need in the wizard dimension.
Cool. Well, all those flavor developers out there can get cracking and start making some pretty cool add-ins Visual Studio. And I guess, I kind of backtracking a little bit, what is the kind of the technical difference between kind of like a Visual Studio add-in and like what a flavor, you know, a package? Because they seem to be kind of, I mean...
So, I would say that the add-in may be a little bit easier to use to start, but it doesn't let you go as deep in your integration. The other difference is that then it comes standard with Visual Studio, while the package you need the SDK installed to be able to develop it. Once you've developed it, you don't need the SDK to run it, but you need the SDK to start developing it.
Okay. And so an add-in would be kind of like a good place to start if I'm just kind of getting a handle of dealing with Visual Studio, but
you cannot do all the things. By example, product flavor wouldn't be something you could do with an add-in.
Okay. That's a... And once you go, once decide to go to the package level, you know, you're developing in a very, you know, the same way that you know, people writing packages internally at Microsoft are. Yeah. Actually, I think my team's even using the managed package framework, and so I mean,
yes,
it's
like, I know some team in VB uses it.
Yes.
Yeah. More and more teams.
Yeah. We actually wrote ours in VB, so.
who writes it? Who uses it anymore?
Well, you make some cool technology. Everybody's gonna start playing with it, and it's and actually, let me go back here because I have another question. That I think would be pretty interesting. So you mentioned that most of the word aggregation a lot, and how this is done through aggregation. I mean, are we talking? I mean, is this like COM aggregation?
It's COM aggregation, and like managed code does not really give you easy way to do that. So some of the base class I showed actually do some of that work for you.
Okay, and
so. You don't need to know that much about aggregation to be able to use it. If you do in C++, you probably want to understand aggregation before you get started.
Okay, and I mean, and this is the, you know, this is the aggregation we've had in configures, because the project system is very, like, the insides of Visual Studio are very calm.
Yes.
Oriented.
That's why I was saying earlier, package are all calm based.
Yeah.
Although you can do that easily with managed code, since it's easily support COM.
Okay, cool. And I guess, kind of, could you give a quick kind of overview of what aggregation is? Because I mean, I know that you're not going to teach aggregation to everybody in 10 minutes on a video on the internet, but...
So aggregation is basically extending like a COM object, but using another COM object to become like a single object, pretty much. And that allowed the outer object to override some of the interface of the inner object, as well as forward some of the call to it if it prefers to do it that way.
Okay, so from an external view, it looks like I've just got one COM object.
One object.
I don't know that it's kind of like nested.
Like for project flavor, it's like if you have, if your flavor is basically the whole project, except that part of it is implemented by the original project underneath.
Okay, and so it's kind of almost like a little thing. I guess a good example would be kind of like a shim. You've got, I'm gesturing with my hands, but no one can see it, so I'll stop. It's all the calls come in and they go to the kind of the outer object first, and then the outer object can decide whether or not it wants to forward them. Or,
right.
Okay.
In this case. What it does is it's going to look, do you support this interface when someone query interface for it? And if the outer object doesn't support it, it's going to go to the inner object. And if the outer object supports it, then it will go there first.
Oh, okay. And so if my inner object implements, say, 10 interfaces and I only want to override 3 of them, if someone asks for one of the 7 that I don't implement,
have to do anything. Long as you're aggregated, you get that for free.
Okay.
That's what makes project flavor easy to build incrementally.
Okay. I find the one slice of functionality that I want to tweak, and I don't have to worry about doing all this extra stuff. And I guess now that we've got the package framework, I don't have to worry about learning a lot about COM aggregation.
Correct.
Awesome. Well, it's good to see that the old technology is actually... I'm going to take a pan of his bookshelf here, and you're going to see that he has many of the same comm books that people out there. Comm and ETL, Inside Comm, Essential Comm. Inside Visual Studio 2003, that's pretty good.
And since as I was saying, I do lots of managed stuff, and Visual Studio is comm-based, this book is also pretty
good. Oh, I love this book. This book gets me through so many problems. The Adam Nathan book. Awesome book,
although
everybody.
Part of what we do with the managed framework is to try to make it easy to do without that book.
That's okay. I'm sure he'll have plenty of book sales, even no matter how good of a job we do. actually, another book that I noticed on your shelf there is Extreme Programming Adventures in C#. That's another really good book, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, so the SDK team we started a couple months ago using TDD and Scrum, pretty much.
Oh, cool.
So that's going pretty well so far, I think.
Yeah. Do you think it's hard to... I know you've only been doing it for a couple of months, but the kind of work that you need to do inside Visual Studio, which is kind of UI intensive and you have a lot of dependencies and a lot of kind of externals, do you think it's hard to kind of do the tester development approach? I mean, do you find it hard to kind of get things in isolation, or is it...
So we haven't done that many very complex packages yet, so it's harder to tell, but so far it's been going pretty well. The key is really to find good ways to separate it from the rest of Visual Studio. The more we can do that, the easier it gets to test. Yeah. And the nice thing about using the Scrum model is it lets us release it more often, pretty much.
Yeah. Are you guys doing weekly sprints, or are you
going monthly sprints.
Monthly sprints, yeah, okay.
And we only had two so far. That's why we're still at the beginning, but things are progressing.
Yeah, and I guess actually the comm would actually maybe make it a little easier to separate things, because everybody's kind of has, well, hopefully, in a perfect world, everybody's talking on clear interfaces, and hopefully it'll...
Yeah, so basically you may have to provide a couple of mock objects that implement some interface, and after that you just pass the right mock object, and you shouldn't need VS after that. That's
yeah.
Fun.
Yes, another personal project of mine is working on extreme programming, so it's good to see that everybody's kind of jumping on board. So, all right, great. Well, thanks for showing us managed package flavoring. This is really cool. I'm going to be working on this myself. Unless you got any other tricks up your sleeve.
No, I think that pretty much covers it.
All right, great. Well, we'll make sure to get some links out to your sample, and you guys out there, go and make some property pages. All right, thanks.